AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Cozy traditions feel good, and that includes your fall makeup look. From lashes for days to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.
Welcome to the Bowden Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, the dogs were barking in week number one. We saw three upsets in the conference. We'll start with the big one. Number one, Texas goes down to Ohio State and loses outright 14-7 to the Ohio State Buckeyes. The Buckeyes dominated offensively, but more importantly, shut down Arch Manning in that high octane Texas offense en route to the 7-point victory.
Yeah, you know what? And I think we kind of got what we thought we might get. There's been so much hype on Arch Manning. He could not perform up to that level. I just don't believe he could. He didn't accurately. He wasn't there. He missed underneath throws. He was a little tentative and timid in his throwing. And so he was a little bit less and didn't get the performance he needed. But they didn't run the ball. Ohio State was able to stop the running attack at Texas. When you can't run, you put even more pressure on the quarterback. And Ohio State did what a national champion quality team does at home in the Horseshoe. They won a tight football game, held on and won at the end. So, like I thought, I picked Ohio State to win this game. I just felt like when it came to it, they had a little more talent, and that so much of Texas, their projection was based on how good they thought Arch Manning would be. He's going to be really good. He just got to bide some time now because he's not there yet.
How important was the rushing attack? Because when you and I had broken down the game heading into Saturday, we said that the rushing attack was critical for the Longhorns to take the pressure off of Arch, not to do it all in the passing game, and to convert on third down type of situations. When we looked last year, they struggled in the win against Arizona State. They only averaged 1.7 yards per carry in that win. They didn't cover against the Sun Devils in the college football playoff. They then faced off against Ohio State in the semifinal and only averaged 2 yards per carry in that matchup. And we saw the ineffectiveness as well on Saturday afternoon of the offensive line going up against a bigger, more physical defensive front. Big picture, can Texas survive without the rushing attack?
Well, and that's the knock on Steve Sarkisian's football team. When it gets to a big game, they can't rely on their running attack. And when you're a national champion, you watched defense run the football and a veteran quarterback that can have poise under pressure. They did not have the veteran quarterback, but again, in a big game, they could not run the ball well enough. Ohio State defensively stopped them just enough to come out there with a great victory. It was a close ball game again, but Texas has got to show they can run the football in big football games. If they're going to get to that conference and that national championship level, they're close. But when it gets to a big game right now, they have not been strong enough in the running attack.
We'll see if Texas can rebound in week number two as Coach and I break down the games for this coming weekend a little bit later in the week. But, Coach, I guess the most eye-popping performance took place in Tallahassee, Alabama, 8th ranked in the nation. They go on the road as a 13.5-point road favorite and get smacked around by Florida State. Florida State pounded the rock, coach, for 230 yards and limited Ty Simpson in that high-octane offense in Alabama. The Seminoles win the ball game outright by 14.
Yeah, the big thing was the performance of the quarterback, Tommy Castellanos, running a Gus Malzahn offense. And my question was, how was Alabama so unprepared to stop that offense? Now, if you've been coaching anywhere in the South for the last 15 to 20 years, I could tell you what Gus Malzahn was going to run at Springdale High School, Arkansas, Arkansas State, Tulsa, Auburn, UCF. He runs his offense. Every big play hit, you got to find a way and work. I would have worked all summer. I would have watched every game. You know what? They probably watched too much of Florida State last year, because that's not the team you were going to play, that Florida State last year. You needed to throw that video away, because those players probably watched too much of last year's Florida State and didn't watch that offense from other schools that Gus Malzahn has coached at, because he's 6-6 against Alabama when he calls plays. Another thing, as a play caller, he gave up the head coaching title. Much better play caller when he can focus on his job as an offensive coordinator.
Coach, if I would have told you prior to the game on Saturday that Alabama would average 3 yards per carry and only 87 rushing yards against that front seven in Florida State, a defense that allowed opposing offenses to pound the rock for 184 yards per game last year, would you have believed it? And secondly, this is the first loss for an Alabama football team in week number one since 2001, when the Crimson Tide lost to UCLA in Tuscaloosa.
They've also lost the last four games they've played against unranked teams. They've been double-digit favorites and lost the last four times, and it's because they can't run the football. If you're going to be a great Alabama team, you look at the championship teams they've had and the Heisman Trophy running backs that they've had in the last 10 years, you got to run the football. They expect you to. A physical Alabama team has to play defense and run the football. No matter what kind of team you got, you got to run it. They can't do that. And I'm going to tell you now, the negativism around Tuscaloosa, around that field house, around those coaches, you know, their wives and their children go out there. That's a brutal place to coach if you're not winning football games. Now you've got to fight for the morale of your staff and the morale of your football team, because already people are jumping ship on you. You've got to show what you really got. I believe the head coach has shown it in the past. He's really got to show he can do it now. Let's keep his team together. But when he does, make sure you can run the football.
How big of a change is Ty Simpson from last year's quarterback, Jalen Milroe? Ty Simpson throws for 254, two touchdowns, but we talked about his elusiveness and athleticism nowhere near Jalen Milroe. No. That had 20 rushing touchdowns last year and took games over with his legs. How big of a change is this offense with Ty Simpson compared to last year with Jalen Milroe?
Night and day. Milroe could win. He could go out there when there was no running game and make the running game himself. That's not Ty Simpson. He's a guy that complements kind of like a Georgia offense. The quarterback has to be able to have a great running attack out of the running backs, because he's not that type of dual threat quarterback. Alabama, Ty Simpson, I don't want to say he's pedestrian, but he's not a dynamic dual threat quarterback. He's waited his turn. He's waited in line. He was a high recruit. But I watched, I said, you know what, this is not Milroe. If they expect him to run for touchdowns, not going to happen. They've got to have that tailback, that classic running back that they've had. They've got to have that running back-oriented running game that they've had in the past. That's what they need to have to complement the passing attack. They did not have it, on top of the fact that they never stopped FSU's offense at the same time.
The third upset came by the way of the LSU Tigers, the Battle of Death Valley. Garrett Nussmeier and the Tigers steal it in the second half, 17-10 over Clemson. They were a 3.5-point road underdog. They win it outright. That was a dominant effort by LSU's defense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, by the second half, it was clear who the better team was. By the second half, I mean, LSU should have won by 14. They had a touchdown call back. They missed a field goal. They were a dominant second half, and they were pulling away. When it ended, it was just getting better and better for LSU, because their defense under Blake Baker is so improved. They've got a defense that going to be hard to play against and have a, be effective against. And Nussmeier proved why he's one of the top quarterbacks in the country. And I don't think he hurt his Heisman Trophy Heisman chances at all by going up against Cade Klubnik and having a better night than Cade did.
When you talk about Garrett Nussmeier, he took what the defense gave him. He took underneath throws, did not force turnovers, and that's why LSU was able to pull away. Also, the rushing attack. LSU pounded the rock for 105 yards in the game. Caden Dorham, 74 yards on the ground, sustained drives, especially on third down. When Coach and I return, we'll break down the odds in the SEC. Coming right back on the Bowden Blitz.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
All right, back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden breaking down the SEC action from week number one. We'll turn our attention to the new updated odds in the SEC for week number two, Coach. We didn't have a chance to talk about Georgia's dominating home win over Marshall, 45-7. The Bulldogs rushed for over 200 yards. Gunnar Stockton and the passing attack stepped up. I told you prior to the season, they would be the one team from a national championship perspective that I would back to get to the national championship game and win it. They didn't disappoint. I know they didn't cover the 38.5 point number, but they dominated Marshall on both sides of the ball last Saturday in Athens.
Yeah, and that's what they needed to do. We've yet to see what they can do. Marshall lost their head coach to Southern Mississippi. He took a ton of his players to Southern Miss. And so, again, we really don't even know quite now what Marshall has. But Georgia did everything they could do. And until they start playing a team of a Power Four level or the conference teams, will we have an indication if they are really national championship contender? But I'm kind of like you. When I'm not sure who to pick, I usually pick Georgia because they play defense. Because even when they don't run the well, the head coach says, we're going to run that football, and he means it. And so they know they've got to do certain things. They're going to find a tight end they can get to. They're going to run that football. They're going to play defense, and they're going to have a good manager, a good leader at quarterback. And I think they've got that. Now we just got to see how they're going to do against stiffer competition.
I agree with you, and I want to bring up this statistic to get your take, because they rushed for 239 yards, and I understand it was Marshall. I get that. Right. But why is that important? Because you and I had talked all offseason how the Bulldogs' identity sort of swayed. In years past, they can run the football as good as anybody, especially during the national championship years with Stetson Bennett. Last year, they had one of their worst rushing performances, only averaging 132 rushing yards per game. They are 51-0 straight up, Coach. Every time this team runs for over 200 yards, dating back to 2016, that is a dominant body of work. As long as that offensive line is opening up holes and they can run the football effectively, they're going to be there.
Yeah, I just think Kirby Smart, philosophically, is a copy of Nick Saban. What Nick did, Kirby tries to do in every way, and the running was a huge part of that, and he knows that. And, of course, when I was the head coach at Auburn, you know, Kirby Smart was a defensive back at Georgia. He has a defensive mentality as a head coach, but he also understands that running the ball is so important in the SEC to control the toughness, control the blue-collar atmosphere, and to keep that quarterback having to throw in bad situations. Carson Beck, whether it's right or wrong, he took a lot of blame for having to throw from behind late in the half, long yardage situations. They couldn't run it. I remember I went to the Georgia game, Georgia-Ole Miss game last year. They couldn't run it at all. and he was scrambling around trying to force throws, and that forced too much to be put on the quarterback. I could say the same for LSU last year when they couldn't run, but Georgia wants to run that football, and if they can against good people, you're going to see them right back in the national championship hunt, not just the SEC championship.
I agree. They have a week 3 game against Tennessee. We'll break that down, obviously, later in the month. We'll see exactly where Tennessee and the Georgia Bulldogs are in week number 3 in the conference. The other team on the list, Coach, is Texas A&M. They played UTSA this past weekend. They were a 23.5-point home favorite. They win it 42-24. Not a dominant defensive effort. For Mike Elko, are you concerned giving up 24 points in week number 1 to UTSA, or is he a good enough coach to right the ship in week number 2?
I think he's concerned. I think that's way too much. You asked, San Antonio is a good football team, but if A&M's going to be tough, Elko, he builds his team around defense, and that's what he was, a defensive coordinator. Way too many points in that game. Now, it is just the first game. It is hard to get your kids always emotionally up for a game like that. Or you also start subbing, and you give up some second-half points that you wouldn't normally get. But he needed to have a little more dominating performance. I think he wanted to have a more dominating performance. But, again, until we see them go against quality talent, quality competition, we won't see how good they really are, because that's when it has to come out. You have to play well once you start getting into the conference or playing other Power Four teams. That's where we got to see how good you are. Notre Dame's coming up here, and we're going to find out how good Texas A&M is.
A bright spot for Texas A&M was their quarterback, Marcel Reed, 289 passing yards, 4 touchdowns. If he could play like that throughout the regular season, the Aggies might be live at a 14-1 number. Let's turn our attention to the biggest matchup of the week. It's top-ranked Oklahoma and Michigan squaring off. Michigan not going to be with their head coach, Sherrone Moore. He's suspended for this matchup. John Mateer, though, in his first game as a Sooner, stepped up. They have a dominating home win. Early thoughts about how this matchup might play out, Coach?
Well, you know, I think the fact that John Mateer came with his offensive coordinator from Washington State, he'll have a comfort zone there in what they're doing. Brent Venables is a defensive coordinator. He was at Clemson when I was there as an analyst. He turns that part over, and he's dependent upon the offensive coordinator and the quarterback getting the job done. They're going to play good defense in Oklahoma. But I like the combination. I like the quarterback success he's had in the past. And I do think you've got a true freshman at Michigan, great talent, but they got to make sure he doesn't get himself in trouble against a team as good defensively against Oklahoma. I really like Oklahoma's defense in this one, and I think he could cause some fits or problems for the quarterback because he's so young at Michigan.
That's why you're seeing, I think, the 5.5 number, Coach, with a veteran defensive coordinator going up against a true freshman in Bryce Underwood. That matchup, you got to give the edge to Venables, especially when you saw what Brett Venables was able to do later in the year against Jalen Milroe and the Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama lost that game 24-3 later in the year. Was a main Crimson Tide were of the college football playoff. When Coach and I return, we'll talk about the other big game in the SEC. South Florida and their quarterback Byron Brown take on Florida and DJ Lagway coming up next. Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden breaking down week 2 in the SEC. We left off talking about the battle in Norman, Michigan, and Oklahoma. Well, there's a big battle in the state of Florida. USF, fresh off their rout of Boise State, takes on top-ranked Florida and DJ Lagway. Both teams are 1-0. USF travels on the road. Coach, a lot of these kids go to high school with the Florida Gators. There's competition.
No,
they're 17.5-point dogs. They potentially, just maybe, can make it a fourth-quarter game against the Gators.
You know, I was in Gainesville last Thursday. I was speaking at the Gator Quarterback Club, and they were saying, we get these two out of the first couple of games out of the way, and we'll get to the conference. All of a sudden, USF, South Florida beats the stew out of Boise State, and that becomes a big game. And you're exactly right. I've recruited Florida. I've coached at Florida State. Those guys, it's a Super Bowl. When you go to USF or UCF, you probably wanted to go to Florida, Florida State, and you didn't get offered. And so now this is your Super Bowl, and they will be inspired. And there are a lot of great football players down there. And I guarantee it has a chance to be a heck of a football game. But Florida's ended with DJ Blagway. They won their last six regular season games last year. They were on a roll. And I do think he's got that program heading in the right direction. Maybe a sleeper in the conference to compete for maybe a conference championship game.
It's possible. Now, a couple of factors I want to bring up. The mobility of Byron Brown, the quarterback at USF. He abused the Boise State defense on the ground, well over 70 yards and a touchdown run. The other factor as well is that USF played on a Thursday night. So from the underdog perspective, to have that extra day potentially of game planning and preparation has to benefit the Bulls and their head coach, Alex Golish, no?
Yeah, probably, but you know what? I mean, Florida opened up with Long Island University. I don't know what comes out of Long Island other than iced tea, and I don't know much about their football team. But that wasn't much of a football game. They didn't have to play people the entire game. They could really focus if they needed to on USF. The question is, did Florida make sure they've got to make sure they understand how good USF could be? So I think Florida is obviously the better football team, but they better stay focused because this will be a huge one for South Florida, and nothing would put Billy Napier back on the hot seat quicker than to lose to South Florida when everybody feels like now we're getting Florida back where they're supposed to be.
And on week three, they do face off against Brian Kelly and the LSU Tigers. Do not want to have a loss. Potential look-ahead spot for the Florida Gators. We'll see how this game plays out a little bit later in the week. The other matchup takes place in Lexington. Last year, Kentucky went into Oxford and knocked off Jackson Dart and the Ole Miss Rebels as a 17.5-point road underdog. Zach Calzada and the Wildcats are 1-0. Ole Miss's new quarterback, Austin Simmons, can make a statement. How do you see this matchup playing out right now? Ole Miss, a 10.5-point road favorite in Lexington.
Well, I just got this feeling that Ole Miss is going to be after Kentucky. Kentucky struggled last year. They projected to have a tough year this year again, quite possibly. I think Ole Miss gets after him. First of all, the quarterback, Austin Simmons, is a outstanding quarterback. He comes out of Pahokee, Florida. He started as a true ninth grader there. That's where Anquan Boldin, my dad coached him. Janoris Jenkins, I coached him at North Alabama. It's where the great football players come from. So I really think Ole Miss, not only will they beat Kentucky, but Lane Kiffin got embarrassed last year, and Kentucky knocked him out of a lot of stuff he thought he would have at the end of the year. Not only do they win, I think he's going to try to put as many points on Kentucky. So I got them. I'm going to take the over. And I really like this quarterback, and I know what Lane Kiffin wants to do, so I'm going to go with it because I think they're going to try to put as many points as they can on this football team.
Last year was a dead under. It was a lower scoring game, and they relied on running the football, playing more zone defense. When you look at Mark Stoops in this ballgame, though, Coach, do you think he takes the same type of approach, tries to make it a fourth quarter game and run the football, or does he put it in Zach Calzada's hands?
Now, game plan, get it to the fourth quarter, get it a low-scoring game, try to keep Florida from making the big play, hitting the deep ball, and make it a low-scoring game, keep it close. That's when Ole Miss gets a little nervous, and then you have a chance to win it in the end. I don't think that's going to happen, though. Sorry.
We'll see. We'll be back on Thursday breaking down all of the SEC battles in week number two. When you look at this ball game last year, Jackson Dart had an opportunity to pull it out. He couldn't do it. For Coach Bowden, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you later in the week right here on the Bowden Blitz.